It's a fact of life these days that everyone wants value for his or her money, even employers. A good friend of mine just went through the audition process for a new chef gig back in Nashville. It was his first time doing so, and he asked me for some advice. He knows I'm a ne'er-do-well and change jobs a lot, and therefore must audition a lot. He's not wrong. I gave him my best advice on what I thought he should do, and he successfully landed the job completely based on his talent. Hopefully, my advice in some small way helped him, even if it only to keep him from doing something stupid, like sending a 3-page criticism of the current menu to the VP of Food and Beverage. And in my defense, he thought his god-awful menu was hip. Having been on both sides of the process, with either doing the auditions myself or being on the tasting panel for those who are auditioning for me, I thought it would be a good thing for me to write a 2-for-1 on how to do a good audition for the chefs and how to be a good taste panel member for everyone else. Chef auditions. Okay, yeah, it might be a rather unfair practice on the surface. How dare these mere mortals question your gifts as a culinary pirate? What makes them qualified to pass judgment on the offerings of food demigods such as you? Well, the easiest answer is most likely nothing, but that's okay. I won't get into the fact that there is a 98% chance that none of your tasters had to pass a test for their job. That for them, the interview was enough without a test at the end. Not to mention a test in an unfamiliar environment with an unfamiliar staff using ingredients that are generally not known to you until right before you begin, all the while being timed and judged while it is in process. Scary stuff, huh? But you know what? You're a pirate. Get the hell over it. Most of these folks are seasoned hotel professionals, which means they've seen a whole bunch of food in their careers. They are also no more, no less qualified than the guests who will be eating your offerings. Their lack of understanding for your inspiration and the whimsies of your particular muse will matter less than their opinion of the taste. So again, get over it. So where do you go from here? Well, let me tell you. Number one, know your opponent. Do your homework and find out about the organization you're going to be cooking for. What is their banquet style? What is the style and theme of the restaurant? You may be the world's greatest sushi Asian fusion expert, but it's not going to mean diddly if the theme is Northern Italian or Southern Steakhouse. I know you're thinking, if I can do this, then I can cook anything, but as one of your brothers, we know that's a lie, don't we? Two, don't reinvent the wheel. Today is not the day to try that thing you've always wanted to try. Remember, you're being timed. To put your best foot forward, you should, three, cook from the heart. Cook well-presented, well-loved dishes with proper garnish. Notice I said proper garnish. I know your pomegranate twill has been described as ethereal, but keep it the hell out of my ossobuco. Solid, great tasting food is always going to win over a science project. Unless you're auditioning for a molecular gastropub, then see rule number one. Four, think about a soup. Soups can be a great way to show off your craft and can be real time savers if you're under a gun. Have a mystery basket with a screw you ingredient in it, a technical term for an ingredient that doesn't really go with anything else contained therein. Turn it into a soup if you can. Soups are a terrific way of padding the total number of dishes as well, and will make you look like you're more productive than you actually are. Caution: a lousy soup will leave your tasters with the impression that you're kind of cheating. But also consider, five, salads. Everyone likes to think they're eating healthier, even if it's a complete sham. Salads are another multi-ingredient item that can come together quickly. You can show off your skill with a bold dressing. You can have hot and cold elements on the same plate if that's your thing. You can incorporate some existing products to show you know how to blend in. Six, involve their existing team. Let's face it, no matter how brilliant you are, you're not going to run a joint by yourself, are you? Start by getting buy-in from the staff right now. Engage them in conversation. Answer questions. Get them to sear something for you. You'll thank me later. 7. Be confident. This is your food, and therefore, this is you to these people. Don't go out there hat in hand and behave as if you're asking for their help in landing this job. Make them think they'd be nuts not to hire you. Don't be arrogant. We already have that long-standing stereotype to overcome. Be confident. If something goes not to plan, tell them so. If you're not happy, tell them so. That sort of honesty goes a long way. 8. Dessert. I never do them since my theory is I'll hire someone to do them, but if you have a slam dunk, why not? 8 simple steps and the rest is gravy. Just remember, you do this for a living, so there isn't really any reason to be nervous. They don't normally do this step unless they like you already, so cook hard, cook proud, and the job can be yours. Now, once you get the job and you find out how much of a train wreck it actually is, well, that's another post for another day. Coming soon, part 2, how to make the most of a tasting.
You have been listening to Shot in a Beer. For information about the podcast, just search for Shot in a Beer on Facebook or find us on Twitter at Shot in a Beer Pod. Shot in a Beer is also a member of a Modern Professions family of podcasts. For other podcasts you might enjoy and information about live shows and how you can get involved, visit amodernprofession.com or check the network out on Twitter at amodernpro. Thank you for your continued support of Shot in a Beer.